welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show. We're bringing you guys the latest and greatest world news and health research. I'm so glad you're with us today. Dad is actually taking care of some stuff at the house, so he'll be a couple minutes late. He should be on here, though, shortly, so we'll get him up and running and get some other articles that he's put together. So I hope you guys are doing fantastic today. First article that I wanted to talk about, this is interesting because I get a lot of emails about people wanting to know, you know, besides the different supplements we have, like the cod liver oil, the memory support, stuff like that, what foods they can be eating to really help with cognitive functioning, memory, you know, to overall just help out with that. And I found an article online that I thought was pretty interesting. I went through it, and it was a pretty accurate stuff, and I agree with it, and I try to do a lot of it. And so I wanted to kind of go over it with shortly, you know, start off with a good nutrition article and give you guys kind of a heads up on some of this stuff. It's the 10 best foods you need for brain function and healthy, you know, improved cognitive functioning. The first one they had on here was coconut oil, which you guys have heard me talk about that repeatedly. Organic coconut oil is very, very good omega-3 fat. Basically helps your brain as an alternate fuel to glucose. Its coconut oil in particular has shown incredible promising and slowing down and some symptoms of dementia. And so I've heard that before. I've seen a lot of people that have been using it more and more to help out with that. And I've heard people get good results. Really easy to cook with. You make eggs in it. You can cook just about anything in it, actually. It's pretty stable. It will start popping, you know, at a certain high temperature. But low temperature cooking is just fine for it. And like I said, the omega-3 properties to it are really well. The next one that I'm a huge proponent of, and we've talked about this repeatedly, are eggs. You guys, there's no question about it. You need to be eating at least a couple whole organic eggs at least a few times a week minimum. My whole food protocol and everything is a little different right now than what it used to be, you know, as I'm starting to recover and get back into it. But it's for the longest time, I mean, for the last couple of years, my pretty much staple was always 3 whole eggs every morning with my organic egg whites and my oatmeal. The reason why, people, you know, always ask me, they're like, dude, you're eating 21 eggs a week? I'm like, yeah, my cholesterol is amazing. You know, everything in my blood work, everything's perfect. Omega-3 fatty acids are really good for lipid levels. They're really good for the brain. The omega-3s help out, and specifically in those eggs, with really good cognitive functioning. And they're a really good fat source. You can get in good omega-3s without having to take it in from somewhere else. The third one on here that I'm also a huge fan of is avocados. It's a very healthy fat that actually helps improve blood flow. They're really good. They're really nutritious. And a lot of people, I've been told, use it as a great alternative to mayonnaise. If you put, you know, the right seasoning and salt in it, you actually use it as a spread. I used to eat that a lot whenever I was training real, real hard. I would eat extra lean ground beef with a little bit of avocado on top of it with some mustard. And that is really delicious. I'd eat 6 ounces of extra lean ground beef with 40 grams of avocados and then add mustard on top of it with my green beans. And that was a staple meal for the longest time. And it really, really helped me recover. It really gave me a lot of energy. And I wasn't eating hardly any carbs at the time. That's when I was, you know, staying real, real lean. And what it does is you're getting all your energy source from fat because you're eating the ground beef. You're getting a good amount of fats from your organic ground beef. You know, usually I would run at least 90-10. You know, sometimes I'd run 93-7 if I could get a hold of it. So I ran the extra lean ground beef, and I would run the avocados. So you're getting really good fats from that. You're getting a ton of protein, and then you're getting your green beans for your vegetables. And that meal right there was really good. It'll keep your blood sugar completely stable. It'll give you a lot of energy. Your mental focus will be good. And also your training sessions in the gym will be pretty decent. I mean, you're not going to be getting as big of a pump or as much energy as you would when you're slamming, you know, sweet potatoes or yams every day. But it really does a good job at keeping you very lean and full and vascular while not putting on any body fat at all. A lot of people have that misconception that, you know, if you eat fat, you're going to put on body fat. Well, that's true to an extent if your carbohydrate intake is way too high and your fat content is way too high. Yes, you are going to use that, and it's going to store as body fat. But when your carbohydrates are lower, your body's going to use the fat you're eating for fuel. So those are the three top ones that I'm a huge proponent of. On this other list one they have here are nuts. which a lot of nuts do have good protein, vitamin E and omega-3. Almonds are very good. Just make sure you're getting organic ones. Also, too, fresh-caught wild fish. Those are really good. You know, I'm a huge fan of salmon, wild-caught salmon, of course, so don't ever eat the farm stuff. It's really bad. You start doing some research in it, you see all, like, the different chemicals they put in there and the antibiotics and all the different stuff they do to keep the fish alive before they harvest them. It's some nasty stuff. And you got to think about it, guys. All they're swimming is a giant, you know, fish bowl of poop all day. That's all they're eating. They're swimming in it. They're breathing it. And so all those toxins are getting recirculated and refiltered through those fish. Very dirty, very toxic. Not something you need to eat. When I've gone to restaurants and I'll get fish, I always ask them, I said, can you guarantee this is wild caught? Go ask the chef. Go ask somebody in the back. You know, if it's not stating it on the menu, it's probably not. And if it's cheap, it's probably not. Most wild caught salmon is anywhere from 20% to 50% more expensive when you buy it from the store or from the fresh market. So generally, the restaurant's paying more for it too. So if you're getting a 8-ounce fillet of salmon with broccoli and it's, you know, $12, there's a good possibility you're getting some pretty cheap farm-raised salmon. You know, when you start looking at it, it's real good, real healthy. It doesn't look like it's an artificial pink, and you're paying $20 or more for a plate of that. And they tell you it's wild. It more than likely is. Also, too, berries. Berries are really good. I've been trying to eat a lot more fruit lately. I really like blueberries. I really like strawberries. They got a ton of antioxidants in them, very good antioxidants that are really good for the brain, for the heart, for the immune system. The best way to do them is fresh. That's obviously. But sometimes, obviously, you know, buying them frozen, it's way more efficient keeping them in the freezer. But making them fresh, you know, eating them, a lot of times what I've been doing more is I'll take some organic Greek yogurt and, you know, a couple ounces of it, and then I'll throw in, you know, a big handful of blueberries. And then sometimes what I'll do, if I really want to make it, you know, good, I'll throw in a scoop of the vanilla fit food that we have. So you're adding up your protein. So, you're getting a 30, 40-gram protein meal right there. You're getting about, you know, 3 to 4 grams of fat with the, you know, with the organic Greek yogurt. And then you're throwing in a good amount of, you know, a little bit of carbs and antioxidants with the fruit. So that's a really, really clean meal right there. It's a really good snack in the afternoon or on the weekend when you kind of are craving something sweet. So you throw in the protein. You throw in a little bit of stevia in there, too, if you want to make it sweeter, and throw in the fruit. I love that. That's a really, really good option to do. Other one I hear they had is turmeric, which I absolutely love. You guys know I'm a huge proponent of turmeric. Still running 16 a day right now for the inflammatory properties, for you know, to basically cover the pericarditis, and it's worked tremendously well at keeping the inflammation down, and has actually helped me recover really fast. As I was talking last week on there, since I've been on that dosage, the joint function has been very well. I don't have any pain in the joints. Granted, I'm not training heavy at all right now, but I still feel really good as far as the joint, and I'm pretty much sure that turmeric's had a lot to do with it. Another thing, too, people need to be eating are green leafy vegetables, kale, spinach, broccoli, asparagus, green beans, anything like that. You've got to make sure you're getting at least multiple sittings of vegetables in a day. And I talk to so many people, and they're not. You know, you'll ask them, well, I'll have like a little bit of broccoli at night. I'm like, what's a little bit of broccoli? You know, two or three little small stalks of it. Guys, you got to have the vegetables in your diet. They really help as far as with keeping the colon active and eliminating the debris, and also too the immune system, the cancer fighting properties with broccoli itself, and all the different nutrients and minerals they have in it. So that's a really good one as well. Green tea is another one on here. That's in our purple sticks. Green tea is great because it gives you a little bit of boost from the actual naturally occurring green tea in it, but it does very, very little at raising cortisol in the body. So it doesn't cause a lot of overt aggression that a lot of people feel with caffeine. It doesn't usually cause a significant, you know, elevated heartbeat or blood pressure unless you're taking a lot or you're hypersensitive to caffeine. Obviously, if you can't touch caffeine at all, then you don't need to touch it because there is a small amount of green tea. But use it on an occasional basis. Green tea has some really good antioxidant properties to it, too. That's why when we started working with the Purple Sticks years ago, it was such a positive product because we have all the B vitamins in it. We actually have multiple different antioxidant blend, if you look in it, from like the berries I was talking to you about, and then Amazon Root Energy Blend, which help out, you know, with the energy and mental focus. way better than drinking Red Bulls or Monsters or any of that garbage. I mean, I used to drink Red Bulls when I was younger, when I was in college. The problem with those is if you get the diet ones, because there's no sugar in them, they're either full of sucralose or aspartame, and they're loaded with caffeine. So you're getting a good fat dose of really synthetic, toxic sweetener, and you're still getting a lot of caffeine. Well, if you go with the non, you know, the regular sugar one, you're getting a massive dose of maltodextrin and dextrose, I think they put in it, glucose, a couple different sugars. So you're spiking your insulin with that. You're also dumping in a bunch of caffeine. And I've seen a lot of people put on weight with Red Bull and Monsters just because they're really not healthy at all, not to mention they're in aluminum cans, which that's a big no-no right there. So you guys got to, I tell people all the time, get off those things. The Purple Sticks are some of the best energy-boosting supplements we've ever found on the market, if not the best, without any negative side effects. And all they really have is positive benefits. I mean, we even have the methylcobalamin B12 in them. So, I mean, you have that really good increase of B12 in the system, and you have it in a natural methylated form. So it's very, very easily absorbed right through the body. Those are some first ones I want to start off with and just kind of give everybody an idea of what, you know, some good things. Because, like I said, I get asked that a lot as far as on food protocols. And I help a lot of people out with diets and stuff, especially here locally. So those are some top tips right there. Some other news now too. Remember last year, McDonald's closed 700 restaurants to cut down on cost. 2016 now doesn't seem much better. Looks like they're going to be closing another 500 stores in the U.S. That's a good thing to me. It looks like they're going to be opening more up in other countries around the world, so they're going to be expanding. But the problem is with the McDonald's that I have is they're so overtly placed all over the, everywhere. Every time you go anywhere, there's a McDonald's somewhere. And so these things really need to be booted out. I really wish we'd have some better high-quality companies come in like Chipotle and start trying to buy out a lot of these areas like that McDonald's has if they're shutting down and using the infrastructure. Because the awareness of healthy eating is really starting to spark. People are really starting to understand that eating this type of absolute toxic garbage, even on a semi-regular basis, is horrible. I mean, I tell people this all the time. I use this analogy. I'm like, you know, if you buy a brand new Corvette, buy a brand new, you know, sports car, Porsche, Ferrari, whatever, if you got that kind of cash, you know, are you, when you go to the pump, what kind of gas you put in it? Well, put premium. Well, I'm putting, you know, 100, 110 race gas in it. Yeah, that's exactly what you're going to do. Why are you going to take an athlete or somebody that's healthy, somebody that's good, and you put the cheapest gas in them? Well, to my opinion, McDonald's isn't even 87 octane. McDonald's is like 79 bottom of the barrel sludge that's been sitting there for 5 years with ethanol in it and dirt and grunge and oil and filth, and you're going to pump it into a high-end car, and then you're going to expect it to run really, really good. That's what you're doing, guys. It doesn't matter if you eat this stuff once a month or if you eat this stuff two or three times a week. It's toxic, toxic garbage. Your body has to try and filter out and process through your liver and your kidneys and your colon. And it's nothing that you need to be putting in your body, even on a semi-regular basis. I've had people tell me before, I only go there about once or twice a month. I'm like, well, that's once or twice too many, man. I'm like, if you're putting that stuff, I can't even remember the last time I ate at McDonald's hamburger. I mean, I've eaten them before, don't get me wrong. When I was younger in college, I didn't know as well as I should have. I have. But even back then, it was still very, very limited because I felt horrible. I've always been an athlete. I've always trained. I've always exercised. And when you're like that, when you eat clean, when you train, when you do cardio on a regular basis, and you eat filth like that, it shuts your body down. I wouldn't even function right now. If I ate one of these burgers an hour before the show, I wouldn't even make it to the show. I'd be sleeping, or my stomach would hurt so bad, or I wouldn't feel good. I wouldn't even do the show. So that's what you guys have to understand. Cut this stuff out of your diet. Cut McDonald's out of your diet, for goodness sakes. Make them keep closing these stores, and let's bring in some higher quality companies like Chipotle, that really produce a good, high-quality, non-GMO fast food, so to speak. I mean, the other day when we got done with the gym, I went in Chipotle's on like a Thursday, or I think it was a Wednesday night, about 8 o'clock. Nobody was in there. I literally walked into the line. Nobody was in the line. I walked right up to, you know, the area where you order, told them what I wanted. They slapped everything on there. They put it down there. I gave them some cash, and I turned around. I was literally out of the store within 2 minutes, in and out within 2 minutes. And, I mean, that's pretty fast, guys. If you really think it needs to be faster than that and it's worth eating Taco Bell, you know, or McDonald's to save that extra, what, 20 seconds for running through the drive through, which I don't even think you can eat any faster through McDonald's, then I don't know what to tell you. That's my honest truth on that. Here's another health article now. Companies, you know, we talked about it before, the BPA and cans, and a lot of companies now are really trying to get away from using the BPA lining in the cans because of how toxic it is. As a result, more and more companies are removing the BPA-free packaging, and the label BPA-free can be seen in many grocery stores as well as health food stores. The potential side effects of BPA basically are not unknown anymore, and everybody's starting to realize what it does. A new article that just came out now is called BPA Buyers Beware, Toxic BPA and Regrettable Substitutes Found in the Lining of Canned Food. Now, what this was a effort by the Breast Cancer Fund, the Campaign for Healthier Solutions, the Clean Production Action, and the Ecology Center and Mind. Then they basically went through and they sample tested by their own research a massive majority of all these different canned foods, and they found a ton of them still had BPA in the linings. In fact, 2 out of 3 cans of all they tested were found to contain BPA. Some companies moved in the right direction, though. Amy's Kitchen, which I'm a big fan of. We get a lot of Amy's stuff here. They make pretty good clean food. Some of it they use tofu, and I don't like that at all. But some of the other stuff they have, they make some really good pizzas that are completely organic, that are really good if you like eating pizza. However, I don't eat bread that much just because I like to stay lean. Another one is Annie's Homegrown, Haynes Celestial Group, and even Con Agra have fully transitioned away from BPA and have opened recently chemicals, openly revealed that chemicals they are using an alternative to do so. In addition, BPA-based epoxy resins were not detected in any of the cans tested from these brands. Eden Foods says it has eliminated the use of BPA-based epoxy liners in 95% of its canned foods and is actively looking for alternatives for the other 5%. No BPA was found in any of their cans either. On the opposite end of the spectrum, 100% of Campbell's cans contain BPA-based epoxy. Campbell's is trying to show everybody they use GMO as their labeling, but they really need to step up their game and start cutting this BPA stuff out because people are realizing this stuff causes issues with fertility in men. It increases the risk of cancer, causes all types of estrogen issues and estrogen metabolism issues in men, and can also mess up all kinds of stuff with females, especially with period irregularity and even fertility as well. So BPA is really something you want to stay away from, especially if you know something has it in there. So I'm telling you guys right now, on this testing they did, 100% of Campbell's cans, everything, contain BPA. Del Monte had 71% of the products testing positive. General Mills, including Progresso and Green Giant, tested 50% of the time. In addition, all the cans tested from McCormick and the company Thai Kitchen, and all the cans tested from Nestle also contain BPA. Empire Company Limited, Goya Foods, which I really like that name. Yeah, not. Ocean Spray Cranberries, Thai Agri Foods, and Vilfer Foods tested positive all in the same sample. Hey, bud, you on here?
I am, Oz. Good being back with you. Sorry I'm a little bit late today, guys. I had a delivery truck bringing in some sod, of all things, to unload, and I had to be there to show the guy where to put the sod, so in case you think it was something that was really esoteric that I was involved in, it was not.
No, I told him it was some yard stuff, so I got an article here. I'll jump on.
Crazy guys that show up, and they have to show up right at 3 o'clock, and I'm like, so I'm here now. Then I've got some guys laying the sod, which I did when I was in high school and college. In fact, my junior year, between my junior and senior year in college, I was laying sod for the summer. And I didn't realize that if you don't know what you're doing, it's not a hard thing to do, but somebody has to show you how to do it. So I had to show them how to lay the sod. So that's kind of sad, actually, because it's not that much of a skill set, but it is something that you have to be shown how to do. So I'm here, dirty and all. So there you go.
Well, I'm glad you can make it, bud. I don't know if you got any articles together, but I can keep going if you have to pull some up or if you have anything that you
I've got a bunch of articles, buddy. There's so much stuff going on with the election, with the Democratic stuff. The entire Democratic Party is in complete and total disarray, Austin. Mm-hmm. They really don't know what to do. They don't know how to act. They're completely clueless. When they got busted on national, international, online, when they got busted, okay, for what they're doing, they're in complete disarray. And I can't even watch it. Like I said, I tried to watch it the other night, but I couldn't do it. So let me go ahead and pull up a story. So you go ahead and keep going. I'll pull up a story here right now when you get...
Okay, well, this is interesting, too. I don't know if you saw this yet. Now, I haven't 100% vetted this, but I was going to look at it and definitely check. The released video, or not the video, the... where's it at here? The conversation, they found a conversation that basically got released today from the State Department releasing a phone transcript that directly showed Hillary Clinton knew the Benghazi massacre was a planned attack and had nothing to do with a protest. The conversation was between a transcript of Hillary Clinton and the then Egyptian Prime Minister Hisham Kandil. She stated, and I quote, "We know the attack in Libya had nothing to do with this film. It was a planned attack, not a protest." Kandil agreed. Said, "You're not kidding. Based on the information we saw today, we believe that group has claimed responsibility for this and is affiliated directly with Al-Qaeda." Now, again, I have no idea. It came from the FOIA response. So this may be legit, but what's interesting is I had a buddy of mine last night want to come over and watch 13 Hours out in the barn, and I watched it again. And, you know, I kind of gave him the backstory, because he'd seen it before, but I gave him the backstory of what was going on with this. I said, you have to understand, guys, they did not want anybody in that Black Op compound to stay alive. They wanted everybody to die. Hillary and Clinton had full intent to wipe out that entire group. It just so happened to be that those retired Marines and Navy SEALs that were there weren't just going to give up that day, and they decided they were basically going to fight until it was over. And that's what they did, and they ended up saving everybody's life in that compound, because if those contractors would have not been there, there's no doubt that those people would have completely breached that CIA compound, and they would have executed everybody in sight. On top of that, they had all those orders already dialed in weeks in advance in preparation, because they knew exactly when they were going to attack the CIA compound, even though it was a Black Op compound and nobody was supposed to know where it was at. So I thought that was interesting as well, that transcript got released today.
Well, also, let me go ahead. I'm going to tell everybody, because everything's starting to make more sense. When I broke this story at the beginning of the year with Hagman, and I started talking about this, the fact that it was last year when I originally talked about this, what people don't understand is this, and I'm going to start this back. I'm going to kind of back it up for just a second, okay? We're under control of a deeply satanic group of people that are basically linked to Sabbatane Levy from the 1600s. He brought the Druid stuff all the way from the way back, you know, back to Nimrod. And this stuff's been hidden and kind of in the shadows, but it's been behind the scenes all the way through Caesarea for the people that were called the snake people. And it's just like the synagogue of Satan that Jesus was talking about in the book of Revelation with John on the Isle of Patmos, and also, you know, their father's the devil. Okay, they're Satan's devil. They're talking about the book of John. And what happens is there's a group of people who masquerade as Jews who are not. They're Luciferians who basically have taken over the United States by the Federal Reserve Bank. They're Sabbatean Luciferians is what they are. They're sorcerers. They're wizards. I know this sounds crazy. And guys, I don't even like talking about it, to be honest with you, because it's so weird. It doesn't, and I'm not telling you that I believe that all these guys are this way, but what I'm telling you, they believe they're this way, and they believe they're the benign Nephilim, they're the sons of the fallen, and the original knowledge to do all of this stuff came through and was talked about in the book of Enoch, which was removed by the Catholic Church in the 300s. And it basically talks about the giants and all the things they taught these humans, and they were eating humans, and all the other stuff. You guys all need to read the book of Enoch. It's really important, and it was also found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. But what's interesting about all of this stuff is because these guys worship Lucifer. It goes back to the Bible. And they say to Satan, "Let me participate in your power and give me things that I want on this planet, power and money and wealth and notoriety, and I will serve you." Now, the Hollywood music industry is the best example I can give you of this, because it's so obvious. These Kabbalistic teachings show them how to call up demons and perform rituals to feed the demonic entities in the next dimension, these demons, these multiple dimension entities, through sacrifice, through human sacrifice, and in turn, these demons, Lucifer, they allow the physical reality to change and to accommodate the wishes of the person or persons doing these satanic rituals. That's who these guys are. That is why so many of the Hollywood people wear the red Kabbalah string around their wrist, because they have given themselves over to Lucifer and his demons, and they consider him to be the good God. They believe there was a war in heaven, that God and Lucifer were at parity. This is what they believe. And there was a rebellion and basically a fight, a civil war, so to speak. And Lucifer brought the human beings the knowledge and the sacrifice and all these things about the, how the universe is built. But he also brought them evilness, Satan worship, blood sacrifice, all of this crazy stuff. It was all against what God wanted. Remember, when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they were tempted by Satan, they were created as adults. They were children in adult bodies. That's how they were made. There was no conception. There wasn't an egg being transferred to sperm. They were manufactured. They were like, you know, God made Adam in his own image. He was manufactured. They had not yet matured to have all of this incredibly vast knowledge of good and evil. They were like little kids watching porn, right? You don't want that. But Satan came up to Eve and tempted her and said, eat from this tree and you'll have all of this knowledge of good and evil. She wasn't mature. She didn't have enough maturation for that. She wasn't ready for that. And so when God saw that they had been contaminated, they had been soiled by what Lucifer had done, you know, they were banned from the Garden of Eden. Now, we don't know where the Garden of Eden was. Some people say after the Great Flood that it was flooded. I don't know all that stuff. That's over in the Mideast somewhere. Now, I know they believe there's over there by the Euphrates River. And it might be. I don't know. But then what ended up happening is this Kabbalah's teaching came through Lucifer, through the fallen angels, as they continue to breed with the women on the planet, until by Genesis chapter 6, the planet was so evil that everybody's thought was evil all of the time. It got to the point where it was so bad that God flushed it. He flushed the planet. He just flushed it. He wiped it out. He separated the continents. He shut down the energy transmitters, which were the pyramids. He moved the ley lines. He changed everything, and all of these places of worship no longer created the energy field to control the holographic matrix that we're in for Lucifer. Now, the problem was, it says in Genesis that these demons, these fallen angels, were there before the flood and again afterward. So they didn't go anywhere. I mean, all they had to do is jump into their other dimensional spacecraft or whatever they travel around in and get off the planet while it got flooded and come back and start their mischief all over again, which is what they did. And again, you see that's true, because then David has to fight a giant with Goliath. And even when the children of Israel, this is long after the flood happened, go into the promised land, they say the land is filled with giants, which tells me that these guys were Nephilim. They were, again, the sons of the fallen. And this has been shown over and over and over in archaeological digs. There's pictures of them that go back into the 1800s, these giant skeletons when they find them. And every time they get found, they get buried in the basements of the Smithsonian or the Vatican, and nobody ever sees these skeletons because they don't want you to know this whole part of the earth transpired because of the evil that it created. Then what happened? God said, go into these lands and kill everything. Well, why do you have to kill everything? Because the DNA was contaminated with fallen angel DNA. That's why God said to the children of Israel, you got to go into these lands and you got to wipe them out. Women, children, men, everybody's got to be killed because they've all got contaminated DNA. They're the spawn of Lucifer, basically. You got to get rid of them. So the children of Israel did that. And when they listened to God, they were blessed and blessed and blessed. But then segments of these populations, including the children of Israel, started turning back to the heathen practices in the Old Testament. They started going back to the altars of Baal and passing their children through the fire. They started going to the Asherah poles and worshiping that goddess. They started doing and I've talked about all these things in detail. I can do another whole show on it if you guys like. And this is how this whole Kabbalist, Satan, Luciferian, hidden knowledge, occult stuff was passed through the ages. These guys have never left. They've been here the whole time. They've been in the shadows. They're shadow people. They don't want to be brought out into the open. That's why there's a whole group of people in the United Nations. They traffic children for pedophilia. These children are used in pedophile rituals to feed Lucifer and these demons in these other dimensions. And they give them their stuff they want when they do these horrible things to children. When they sacrifice the kids, when they sodomize the kids, when they rape the children, when they do all these things to them, or when they do human beings like this. And the Rothschilds have been in the middle of all of this stuff. I told you, I have a national talk show host who went to one of these parties one time. He went to one of these parties. They called it a Babylonian party. He went to one. And they had a staircase coming down out of the ceiling in a big warehouse. And there were guys coming down naked and women coming down naked. And he said he saw what was going on with all of that. He just left. He said, I'm getting out of here. The following day, he was confronted on the street And they asked him, what do you think about the party last night? He goes, man, that's not my deal. I'm not going to get involved in that. And they said, we will piss on your grave. That's what they told him. We will piss on your grave, excuse my language, if you talk about this or tell anybody else. That's why I can't use his name. And I know the guy, and he's for real. He's nationally known radio talk show host. You know his name if I mention it. And so what's crazy about this stuff is going on in these secret societies all over the world. This offshoot of this is the Bohemian Grove, in which they're sacrificing human beings in effigy, we think, to Moloch again. George Bush and these globalists are involved in this Kabbalist, ritual, satanic, Luciferian, Jacob Frank teaching of using these energy fields by sacrificing human beings and sacrificing these idols and these demons to cause the things to happen on this planet they want to have happen on the planet. Because we're basically in a holographic matrix, and they can control the energy field and what happens around them when they sacrifice. The difference is, when you pray, you create scalar waves that also change the very fabric of time-space. And when this happens, you change your own physical reality by the prayer and by the words that you speak and by what you confess. That's why you can't be listening to negative music. And I don't want to be negative about this, but there's a lot of Christian music I won't even listen to because the confessions are all negative. I won't listen to it. You know, I'm not going to listen to negative music. I don't care if it's Christian-based or not. I'm not going to do it. God is a God of yea and amen. He wants to bless you and take care of you. When you connect with Him in His dimension, He has Jesus on one side, the Holy Spirit on the other side. They reach down from that interdimensional entity, being place where they are in heaven, and they grab you and they hold on to you, and they never let you go, and you become part of their dimension. That's why when you die, you immediately go to God in His dimension. So we are already in covenant with God. That's why Jesus said, where is thy sting, death? Where is thy victory? We have overcome the grave because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, these guys that are involved in all of this stuff, they continue to worship Lucifer, and it's infiltrated the government. Let me finish going what happens. We have to realize greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. We are not of this world. We've been set apart. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the game is over. You win. That's why He said on the cross, it is finished. It's done. They can't take you after that. When you accept Him, He continually redeems you through His blood. Period. That's how it is. You now have authority over them because you are now in covenant with the Most High, who allows you to control your own reality. That's what prayer is all about. I repeat that. That's what words are about. That's what thoughts are all about. We control our physical reality because we are connected to the Holy Spirit, to the Creator of the universe. You've got to get your head wrapped around that. As Christians, we must reestablish control of the holographic reality that we live in. Now, here's what we're doing right now. We've given control to the government, okay? They've become completely and totally corrupt. We saw that with Hillary with the emails. She was running her servers and her emails and her computer as a Dropbox for foreign governments. Now, whether she was doing that through the CIA or not, I don't know. But they're putting huge amounts of money into the Clinton Foundation because of this. By giving it to the government, we get to blame shift to say it's not our responsibility. That's why with the Johnson Amendment happened back in the 50s, and he said that preachers can no longer talk about political items from the pulpit or they'll lose their 501(c) corporation status, he should have been immediately thrown out, put in jail. That should have never been passed. Preachers should be able to preach about all of this stuff. But see, this infiltration started back in the 40s and the 50s when all the communists started coming over from Russia. This is what happened. These communists were involved in the Bolshevik Revolution. And almost all of these communists who were involved, they were Sabbatean Jews who had taken over the government and who basically created communism. Lenin, Marx, all of them. And they all worshiped Lucifer. They were masquerading. They were Jews by birth, supposedly, but they weren't Jews by religion. That's where everybody gets confused with all of this. And they came to the United States. They took over Hollywood. They took over the media. And this is what they've done. They've controlled us now with their Luciferian doctrine. That's why I look at Taylor Swift. She used to sing these really cute songs for all these young tweens. Same thing with, you know, Katy Perry. The same thing with Christina Aguilera. All of them. And they all go over to the dark side, and you can tell they're all worshiping Lucifer, and their songs get darker and darker, and they get filthier and filthier and filthier until you go to one of Miley Cyrus's concerts. She's riding on top of a giant penis. These are the girls that little tweens used to go to see when they're 7, 8 years old. I mean, these are sickos, and they program the brain of the people into Luciferian doctrine by doing this. But by giving the control to the government, we get to blame shift to say it's not our fault, it's the government's fault. That's why I say we've got to stop blame shifting. Don't vote for that wicked, blood-sucking witch and put Trump in office. At least we can say we did the best we could. The government then gets control over to the elements. But the problem with the military, it's been taken over by the intelligence community, which is the CIA. The military has been taken over by the CIA. This is what happened at the, if you watch the movie 13 Hours. The CIA was telling the military what to do. Austin, you watched it last night. The CIA said, no, you can't go rescue Ambassador Stevens. No, you can't leave. No, you don't have clearance. And these were mercenaries working for the CIA, and they ignored their orders and went and tried to save Stevens. Well, then what happened is they wanted them all dead because they were running drugs, they were running weapons, and they were running pedophile rings. Stevens was gay. And they were doing all of this stuff, and they knew if Stephen stayed alive and he got away from that, he'd testify against them. They wanted everybody dead. Then the military gives control of all of this mess to the intelligence community, which again is the CIA. The CIA is completely Luciferian. They're controlled by the black magicians and these Kabbalists and these Luciferians and the Rothschild boys, and they give it over to the demons, who are then controlling the quantum computer, the artificial intelligence computer, which generates an energy field all over the planet using cell towers and Gwen towers and radar domes. And they can change the frequency of the energy on the planet, make it one of love or of hatred. This is exactly what they used to do with the pyramids. Same thing. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon the returning of the Son of Man. This is what Jesus said. And they're all pushing us to transhumanism to control the holographic field. If we understand the game, then we can stop it. But we've got to take responsibility, and we've got to go support Donald Trump. We've got to tell our friends about Trump. We've got to put Trump yard signs up. We've got to do all of that. If the government tells you to do something wrong, just don't do it. You don't have to listen to them. It's wrong. You don't have to sin. Our law that we have to follow is from the Word of God. You can't allow yourself to be taken in by these guys to do what they want to do. We have to stop these endless, stupid wars, which is all about creating the negative energy and controlling the drugs that are coming out of Afghanistan. We've got to love one another. We've got to respect one another. This is the reason that John Lennon was killed. He finally saw what was going on, started talking about peace. This is what Michael Jackson, he started talking about it. This is what Prince, he started talking about it. They had put these guys at too high of a level as far as having too much authority, too much control in this holographic matrix to allow them to start telling people the truth. And a lot of these other guys, they start catching on to what's really happening. They're going, wait a minute, I don't want to be part of this mess. This is a really big mess. I don't want to be in this, and they end up dying. And guys, that's why we have to do everything every single day to pray for Donald Trump. Because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. They're scared that Christians are going to get together in the aggregate, and they're going to start praying. And if they start praying, they're going to change everything almost immediately. So again, 13 hours. They wanted everybody dead in that entire CIA compound. They had already given the mortar coordinates out to shell that place. They wanted everybody dead. Nobody was supposed to come out. The problem was when they were on the radio for 13 hours screaming and yelling, and all these radio signals got picked up by all of these other places around the world, they knew that the cat was out of the bag. The guys didn't want to die. That's the whole bottom line. They did not want to die, and they were not sure if Stevens had gotten out, if he was in the CIA compound. They could not allow him to testify, and they had to shut up the whole group. That's what happened in Benghazi. That's how corrupt it is. That's why the one FBI official said, if Hillary Clinton's foundation was fully exposed, it would take down the entire United States government. And the problem is, you start talking to people about the good and evil, and if they're not a Christian, they don't understand. You've got to stop with the CIA and the drugs and the mafia and that kind of stuff, and then they're good. But my audience, and Hagman's audience, and Hodge's audience, and even the lady I did all the shows for last year, her audience, they're all very, very awake patriots. And we all know there's more to this game than meets the eye. This is a serious, serious mess that we're in. And we can get through it. By God, we can get through it. By God. I'm saying that very sincerely. I'm not blaspheming. By God, we can get through it. By Yahweh, we can get through it. By Yeshua, we can get through it. But guys, we've got to pray in aggregate together in prayer every single day. Pray out loud. You release scalar waves. Scalar waves are radio waves that have been laid on top of a radio wave, creating a longitudinal wave, which are laid on top of each other, creating a scalar wave, which pass through the dimensions of space and time. And they have no physical barrier to how fast they go. If you pray right now, 100 million light years away, those scalar waves reach another galaxy that fast, instantaneously. And that's how you change the fabric of time-space. and we have been given this incredible ability by God Almighty. The demons don't have this. They can't do that, all right? They have to use human beings to do that, to change the attention field through their sacrifice. That's why they give them the stuff after they do it. See, we have the ability to change the entire fabric of the universe if we only knew who we were in Christ Jesus and what we are being a Christian. So there's my little rant right now, Austin, all geeked up with sunshine and hot water and water outside. There you go.
Amen, man. That was real talk. That was good.
Okay.
that really hit it on the head, man.
But that's a real brief summary. If you have somebody who's partially awake, just let them listen to that. That's who we are, what's happened. So there you go. What's your next story, bud?
Well, next one, just going off the side of that, too, I talked about a couple days ago about that Tim Kaine Yahoo that Hillary picked for VP. And this is just another reason to show you that there's absolutely no way being off. It came out now. I didn't know this before. I know he's a huge Islam supporter, has all types of different ties with the Islamic Brotherhood and everything else. Now it comes out now he's a huge supporter of a ban on any type of magazine over 15 rounds. Also, the assault weapons ban, he's a huge proponent of that. He goes on to here to say, here's the thing. He goes, I voted for the assault weapons ban and the magazine ban. But here's the practical problem we need to be aware of. As soon as you define an assault weapon and you can't sell it, and here's how you describe it, gun manufacturers just make an adjustment or two, and then they say, oh, that's not subject to limitation. So we need to turn around and ban all of them, including the magazine. Guys, this guy with Hillary Clinton, you got to remember, if they get into office, this won't be on a Virginia scale where he's from. This won't be on a, some type of state scale. These guys are going to try and push a full-blown federal ban of all useful purpose duty weapons and magazines of every type of firearm. You're talking about banning anything less than 15-round magazines? That means your Glock 19 is going to be useless. You're going to have a 10-round California legal mag for it. All this stuff they're putting together in the aggregate, the same thing Dad said. They all want everybody to die that's opposed to their globalist agenda. They don't want us being able to support each other, to support our neighbors, to support our family, to be able to offer firearm support for anybody. They want to ban all this stuff. So when I saw he was all for that, it made perfect sense to me on why she picked him. But remember, guys, this isn't going to be a joke anymore on a state level. This will be a full-blown federal ban if these guys get in here and decide they want to do that. And they're very open for it. And for some reason, a lot of people are still supporting Hillary. Like Ted said, I don't know why, but with this DNC convention, like you said earlier, it's a joke, man. You're right. I mean, every time I read anything about them, these guys are like falling apart at the seams. They don't even know what to do over there right now. There's some protests outside the DNC, and these people are walking around with a giant coffin, and it had 2016 DNC written all over it. Meaning basically the DNC is completely dead. They're carrying the coffin around for it. Put in the coffin and nail it up. It's over with.
Well, I thought that was
interesting.
Okay, excellent point. But I'm going to tell you why the DNC is dead. This is why it's dead. Okay, the Bible says, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you."
Yep.
The Bible says it is better to give than to receive. The Bible basically says that we're to treat and love one another. Right. That's what Christians do who are morally and ethically responsible. They do all of these things, right? Here's the problem with the Democrats. Here's what they do. I've had people in my life before that were takers, and we're givers, okay? We support ministries all over the planet. We support so many different things that we do, and we do our best to be a giver, okay? And all of you have had relationships with people where you give and they take. You give and they take more. You give and they keep taking and taking. And then you say one day to them, hey, can you do something for me? Oh, I can't. I'm too busy. Or you call them and they don't return a phone call. But every time they call you, you have to be available. There was a pastor over in Orlando, at Lakeland. Actually, he had two churches. I'd give you his name, but then I couldn't play the show on tape, so I don't want to do that. The guy's a complete scum bucket. I mean, scum bucket. Low life. Low life, okay? I mean, this guy, he used to bring hookers on the platform in his church. He had a 10,000-member church in Tampa. He used to bring hookers on the platform from the Bonds Venus Club there. Unbelievable, okay? Whores, okay? And unbelievable. And the Mons Venus Club is this strip club in Tampa. And what's crazy is, I remember he called me up a couple of times because they wanted me to speak at their church or whatever, a bunch of other things going on. And I remember, I didn't know he was like this. And every time I'd call him, he was never answering the telephone. He'd never return the phone calls. Every time he called me, he expected me to answer or had one of his staff answer or whatever. But it was one-sided. And everything I started realizing he was saying was a lie. It was just a lie. He's a taker, taker, taker. That's all he wants to do is take. He doesn't want to give. Now, what was interesting about all of this is that this is the problem that we have in Christianity today. Don't fuss at me and turn off the radio. I'm going to explain what I mean by that. We've gotten to a point now where everybody's starting to feel in Christianity, not everybody, but a large percentage of them, that we're entitled. Okay? This is how the Democrats got their foothold into Christianity and why so many Christians are Democrats. Because they get into this taking mentality. What can you do for me? I had another TV evangelist say to me one time, he goes, I expect people to give to me and give to me and give to me and give to me until I tell them they don't need to give me anymore. Okay? Another one you can read about, it's a really good book. I read it. I've talked about it before. I'm not going to mention the guy's names, but it's called Thieves, T-H-I-E-V-E-S, by Trey Smith. You can get it online for $20. It's not a great book. It's a horrible book, but it exposes the inside underbelly of TV evangelism in some cases, not in every case. That's why I say to you guys, give to your local church. You can read that book. And what happens is these guys start to be takers, takers, takers. And everybody around them gets sucked into this little whirlwind. This is what's happened to the Democrats, Austin. The Democrats have gotten to the point where they're the party of handouts. They want us to give them stuff. Remember, they want us, the Republicans, to support them. The Democrats can't support Democrats most of the time because they're too broke. Or the Democrats are so whacked out in the head like Oprah Winfrey and these other people, they may have billions of dollars and they may support one or two functions for $1 million here, $1 million there, but they have billions in the bank, but they don't want anybody to take their billions of dollars away. They want to take it away from the Christians. They want the Christians to give and give and give and give and give. And that's the problem of why the Democratic Party has fallen apart. Everybody's got their hand out and everybody wants to take. Nobody wants to give. And that's why nobody wants to be part of it anymore, because all the people that have been giving have given out. And the country is broke. Our United States is broke because of what the Rothschild Bank did with the fiat currency in 1913. So the United States is busted. We're selling huge chunks of our infrastructure to China and to other countries right now. Pretty soon we'll be selling to national parks. You watch my word on it. They'll be basically given to other countries and sold. And so this is what's happening to the United States, because we've given our wealth away to the takers. And here's my point. Givers can't be friends with takers, period. I'm going to repeat that. Givers can't be friends with takers, because the givers will be given until everything's given away, and the takers will take it until they got everything. And then they'll find another giver to go take more from. And that's the problem with the Democrats. They've taken and taken and taken and taken and taken and taken and taken. Cloward and Piven, remember, these guys from Berkeley, they started it. Set it up so the social welfare programs get so big that the republic collapses from within. And that's what they've done, Austin. That's why the Democrat convention is a fiasco. Because finally these emails are being shown for who these people are and how they're an entire group of people who are takers. Give to the Hillary Clinton Foundation. Give to the Bill Clinton Foundation. We'll give you these state secrets. Remember, Bill Clinton sold the silent shaft technology of our submarines through Toshiba to the Chinese. He also sold our international ballistic missile guidance systems to the Chinese. He sold them to the Chinese. This is Hillary's husband. Sold them. So guys, we've got to stand behind Trump. That's like I said, Trump's not perfect. Okay, I got that. Been married 3 times, got that. Okay, great. I'll say one thing for him. He may have been married 3 times, and I'm not agreeing with that. He sure had pretty wives, got great kids. You know, all of his wives love him, all his ex-wives love him, all his kids love him. I mean, he's doing something right. He's made some mistakes, don't get me wrong, but none of us live in a glass house, because we start throwing stones, we're all going to be breaking each other's windows. Guys, we've got to go with the best horse we've got, and nobody else has talked about TPP. Except for Ron Paul. Nobody else has talked about the Federal Reserve like Trump has. Nobody else has talked. Nobody else, not even Ron Paul, has talked about immunizations. Nobody but Trump. So, guys, yeah. He's the only person I know that we have a chance to do what we can do. We need to be able to stand before God Almighty. We need to say, guys, God, Jesus, Yeshua, Holy Spirit, we did what we thought we needed to do, and we stood in the aggregate for this guy, and we believed that he said he was going to do what he's going to do. Pray he stays healthy and he doesn't get sick and doesn't die. That's all I can say. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, and one thing I want to add to that, too, with hanging around people and being friends with people that are reciprocal or that are takers, is you have to understand, you know, you can always spot it the first couple times you hang out with somebody when you see how they respond. You know, who wants to drive? Who wants to pitch in on this? When you go out on a trip, who wants to buy in? Who wants to throw gas money in? And so you'll see very quickly, as I've seen it in Toe's dad, that's why we're bringing it up, when you start hanging around people that every time you go somewhere, it's always, oh, can you grab this meal for me real quick? Oh, can you pick me up? Can we do this? And they never want to offer gas. They never want to buy you money. They never want to buy you, you know, dinner back. They never want to throw you a couple bucks to cover this. It's always about them, as much as you can do for them all the time. Dad and I had this discussion with Harrison the other day about hanging out with reciprocal friends. And I'm real funny about it now, because when I was younger, you know, you don't really realize it as much until you start getting older. And, you know, it's something as simple as, you know, does anybody call you? You know, if you feel like, you know, you're trying to be friends with somebody, you don't see them much, you call them at once every, you know, 2 or 3 months, and they're kind of too busy to talk, they kind of say, hey, whatever. Well, then you don't hear from them again. You call them back 2, 3 months later. They're kind of too busy to talk. You don't really hear much from them again for 2 or 3 months. You call them again. After a while, guys, you got to go, do I really need to put any more energy into this relationship? Is this doing anything for either one of us? Because they obviously aren't being reciprocal, and all I'm doing is giving, and all they're doing is taking. So that's a really good point you brought that up, that involving with everything, especially with the Democrats, because you're right. Their whole mentality, their whole structure, their whole basis is on taking from everybody else.
That's right.
Take from everybody that works hard, that puts 40, 50, 60 hours a week, that runs their own business, that pays $400, $500, $600 a month a person in health insurance. Take from them and give it to other people that don't want to work. And the problem is, like you said, that mentality only goes so long, because the takers keep taking until the givers have nothing left, and the takers still at that point have nothing because they burn through everything because they don't know how to do or manage or supply anything on their own because they're so used to taking everything for free.
And see, that's the biggest problem that we've had in Africa. You know, we've completely destroyed the culture of Africa because we've gone in there with missionaries. And don't get me wrong, I believe they should have sent missionaries in there, but they sent missionaries in there with food and to feed the Africans. Well, the Africans had plenty of food when the missionaries got there, where they start bringing them all this extra food. So all they want to do is sit around now and eat the extra food and have babies. And pretty soon they have this population explosion. They can't feed anymore. This is exactly what happened to us, you know, back in the late 1800s. We started sending missionary groups into Africa. And now we've destroyed the culture of Africa, and now they can't feed themselves over there because they don't know how to feed themselves because they've been taking for so long. See, and guys, this is not God's way. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Now, I remember when I was 8 years old, you know, we had that fish camp, and my mom was working so hard because my dad and my mom were divorced, and they got divorced when I was like 5 years old, and she's out there moving and cleaning cottages and moving refrigerators, and she's trying to hire people to paint. And finally, at 8 years of age, I started painting. I started painting, like the cottages. You know, before long, I'm shingling the cottages. Before long, you know, I'm pressure washing the cottages. Before long, I'm cleaning out septic tank lines, okay? And I'm learning how to do all of this stuff. And I still know how to do all that stuff, which I guess is a pretty good skill set. I'm pretty good around the house. But the craziest thing is I was taught that if you don't work, you don't eat. I mean, I was raised by Germans, okay? I mean, these guys were like talking German in the house, right? This is one of these families that you didn't work, you got the crap beat out of you. And basically, you learned really quick that if you wanted to have any kind of benefits in the family, you had to bust your butt all the time. And I remember my mom told me one time when I was like 16 years old or 15 years old, I told her, I said, Mom, I really need to start making money. I'm getting a car and I want to be able to go on dates. And she goes, well, I'm not going to pay you. You live here. I have to feed you. And I'm like, great. I said, I have to go get a job then. I won't be able to work for you anymore. She goes, I don't care. She goes, I don't care if you work for me. I don't care if you work for somebody else, but you're going to work. You're going to work. You're not going to lay around. And I thought, wow, we had 2 acres of property. And I had a 20-inch push mower when I was 8 years old. 20-inch, that was one of the self-propelled. Had a little ones, 2.5 horsepower motors on it, maybe 1.5 horsepower motors, 20 inches wide. And I had to mow that 2 acres of property with that push mower every week in the summertime. And all it was Australian pine tree roots and red ants and sand spurs. I mean, it wasn't anything fancy to get looking at, right, guys? And I remember I had to start doing that from the time I was 8 years old. And I could still go out in the sun to this day at the age of 60, I make sure I stay hydrated and put in a full day's work. And Austin, you know I can do that. And the thing that's crazy about this is I have kids that come to me who want to work with me in the yard or help me around the house or help me back in the yard or whatever. They can't even cut a piece of pipe, you know, PVC pipe. They can't even, they don't even know how to glue a fitting together. They can't do anything because they were never taught anything because everything was done for them. Guys, your kids don't have to be in soccer and baseball and karate and dance and 15 other things all week long. They need to be outside in the sun working. You need to have their telephones locked up somewhere, and they need to be not watching TV. They need to be reading books, not playing on their iPhones and iPads all the time, and they need to be interacting with other people. Now, I'm just giving you guys some advice, because our kids don't even get cell phones until they get driver's licenses and cars and they start college. Harrison got his first phone when he started college when he was 15 years old. And that's how we train them around here. We train them to work. Again, I'm not doing Cloward and Piven. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's how we're going to live here. But this is the place where people learn how to work. If they don't want to work, they got to go somewhere else. They got to work. My 15-year-old daughter, she decided she didn't want to work. She wanted to be just a Democrat, I guess. So we sent her to private school at a ranch out in Montana where she's got to bale hay and work and feed cattle. And she's got to work all day and plus do school. And after a year, she finally contacted us last week and said, you know what? I realized why you sent me out here. Life's not what I thought it was. I said, that's right. This is what life is. Life is exactly what you make out of it, what you speak about, what you pray about, and what you believe God for. That's what life is. Cloward and Piven, absolutely no way. Two professors decided how to destroy the United States through social welfare programs. That's what they've done. That's why the Democrat Party is falling apart. It is the party of leeches. It is the party of takers. It is the party of perverts is what it is. And they all want their own special interest group given the money. That's how they do it. Anyhow, we're almost done. The show's almost over with. Austin, we're almost out of time, buddy. I'm sorry I pontificated the whole time I got on. Guys, thank you for being a listener. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. And guys, we didn't plug any product today at all, nothing. So thank you for buying your multiple vitamin from healthmasters.com. We love you guys. I hope you enjoyed this show. It was really it was fun for me. I hope you liked it. God bless you guys. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And also go ahead and close.
Yeah, we appreciate it, guys. Also, check out the website, the HGH Stimulate, which is a super popular product. You guys voted. We listened. It won product of the week, so it's on sale over 10% off a can right now. Great product. Super good seller. Really good for pre-workout. Really good for overall circulation. Check it out on the website at healthmasters.com. You guys need anything, give us a call or email us. We will be back on tomorrow, same time as always. You guys have a blessed night.